Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Ancestral Places: Understanding Kanaka Geographies is a scholarly work in Indigenous Studies, Hawaiian Studies, and Cultural Geography by Katrina Ann R. Kapana Okalo Kiola Nakoa Oliveira. The book examines how Kanaka, or Native Hawaiians, understand place through ancestral knowledge, language, genealogy, historical accounts, and embodied cultural practice. Rather than treating geography as a neutral map of landforms and boundaries, Oliveira presents it as a living system of relationships among people, ancestors, land, sea, heavens, memory, and identity. The book is part of the First Peoples New Directions in Indigenous Studies series and is aimed primarily at scholars, students, and readers interested in Indigenous epistemology and Hawaiian cultural practice. Its purpose is both analytic and restorative. It explains Kanaka placemaking on its own terms while challenging Western assumptions about mapping, environment, and spatial knowledge. The result is a focused contribution to understanding how ancestral Hawaiian ways of knowing remain intellectually and culturally significant in modern contexts. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Kanaka geography as a relationship among ancestry, land, and identity. A central contribution of Ancestral Places is its presentation of geography as a relational field rather than a technical description of physical space. Oliveira shows that for Kanaka communities, place is not merely a location that can be marked on a map. It is connected to genealogy, ancestral presence, historical memory, social responsibility, and the ongoing relationship between people and aina, or land. This approach matters because it reframes geography as an Indigenous knowledge system with its own categories of evidence and meaning. Questions such as where a person is from are not treated as casual biographical details. They point to belonging, obligation, and inherited connection. The book therefore resists the idea that Indigenous spatial knowledge is only local tradition or cultural symbolism. Instead, it argues that Kanaka geographies organize sophisticated understandings of environment, history, and social life. By foregrounding ancestral places, Oliveira also shows how land carries knowledge across generations. The physical world becomes readable through names, stories, chants, practices, and remembered relationships, making place a source of identity as well as an archive of collective knowledge. Secondly, Mulelo and Hawaiian language as systems for preserving place-based knowledge. Oliveira gives significant attention to Mulelo, or historical accounts and stories, and to the Hawaiian language as essential media of geography. The book does not treat language as a decorative cultural layer added to geography. It treats language as one of the main ways place is known, remembered, and transmitted. Place names, terms for land divisions, genealogical references, chants, and narrative traditions carry information about relationships among people, environments, and ancestors. This has important methodological implications. If knowledge is embedded in language, then translation alone cannot fully capture it, especially when Hawaiian terms hold layered meanings that do not map neatly onto English categories. The bilingual movement of the book reflects this point, requiring readers to recognize that Kanaka geography is not simply Western geography with Hawaiian examples. It is structured through Hawaiian concepts. The use of mulelo also demonstrates that historical knowledge can be spatial knowledge. Stories locate people in relation to specific lands, seas, heavens, and ancestors, preserving orientations that conventional cartography may overlook. In this sense, narrative becomes a disciplined way of mapping memory and belonging. Thirdly, performance cartographies as an alternative to Western mapping practices. One of the book's most distinctive ideas is performance cartography, the argument that Kanaka mapping can occur through embodied and oral practices rather than through flat visual maps alone. Oliveira discusses practices such as reciting creation accounts, using linguistic nuance, and dancing hula as ways of locating and preserving ancestral places. This does not mean that performance is a substitute for accuracy. Rather, it expands what accuracy can mean when knowledge is carried through rhythm, sequence, gesture, genealogy, chant, and memory. Western cartography often privileges measurable distance, fixed borders, and visual abstraction. Performance cartography emphasizes relation, movement, repetition, and transmission. It can map how a place is known within a community, how it is connected to ancestors, and how it is sustained through practice. This idea is especially important for Indigenous studies because it challenges the assumption that knowledge becomes legitimate only when converted into written or graphic form. Oliveira shows that mapping can be enacted, not only drawn. The concept also helps explain how cultural performances are intellectual acts that organize geography, history, identity, and responsibility in ways that remain accessible across generations. Fourthly, a fluid spatial world linking heavenscapes, landscapes, seas, and oceans. ancestral places complicates modern environmental categories by presenting Kanaka space as fluid and interconnected, rather than separating land, sea, sky, and ocean into isolated domains. Oliveira describes a worldview in which heavenscapes, landscapes, the land-sea continuum, and oceanscapes are related fields of knowledge. This matters because common terms such as environment can flatten distinctions that were meaningful in ancestral Hawaiian life. Specific winds, rains, depths, regions, and land divisions could carry names and histories that expressed intimate familiarity with place. The discussion of concepts such as ahupua also shows that land organization cannot be reduced to a simple administrative grid. Spatial knowledge was tied to use, rank, responsibility, resource relationships, and movement across ecological zones. By emphasizing fluidity, the book challenges rigid boundary thinking. Place is not always fixed as a closed unit. It can be experienced through journeys, genealogical ties, political authority, seasonal cycles, and relations between land and sea. This framework helps readers understand why Kanaka geography requires attention to both physical features and cultural relations. It also clarifies why indigenous spatial systems may appear unfamiliar when judged by Western cartographic expectations. Lastly, a scholarly method that makes form part of the argument, the structure and style of ancestral places are not incidental to its argument. Oliveira moves between Hawaiian and English, incorporates defined terms, and uses visual and textual elements to show that knowledge of place is layered. The form of the book reflects the content geography is encountered through language, charts, illustrations, poetry, and interpretive discussion rather than through conventional academic prose alone. This method gives readers a sense of how Kanaka spatial knowledge resists reduction to a single explanatory mode. It also creates a productive difficulty. Readers unfamiliar with Hawaiian may need to move carefully through terms, glossary material, and contextual explanation, but that difficulty is part of the intellectual point. The book asks readers to adjust to the knowledge system being studied rather than expecting all concepts to be immediately absorbed into English language academic categories. As a result, the work functions both as analysis and as demonstration. It models how indigenous scholarship can maintain conceptual fidelity to its source language while still engaging university disciplines such as geography, history, linguistics, and indigenous studies. In conclusion, Ancestral Places is best suited for readers with serious interests in indigenous studies, Hawaiian studies, cultural geography, anthropology, language revitalization, or decolonial research methods. It will be especially valuable for students and scholars who want to understand how place can be theorized outside standard Western cartographic frameworks. The practical benefit of the book is not a set of simple techniques, but a discipline shift in attention readers learn to notice how language, narrative, genealogy, performance, and ecological knowledge work together to create a sense of place. For educators and researchers, the book offers a model for engaging indigenous knowledge without reducing it to folklore or treating it as supplementary data. Or for readers connected to Hawaiian culture, it provides an academically grounded affirmation of the continuing significance of ancestral spatial knowledge. What makes the book stand out from many works on indigenous geography is its integration of theory, Hawaiian language, and embodied practice. It does not merely argue that indigenous mappings are valid. It demonstrates how they operate through mulelo, hula, place names, and relational categories of land and sea. Compared with broader surveys of indigenous placemaking, Oliveira's work is more specifically rooted in Kanaka epistemology and the Hawaiian archipelago, giving it both scholarly precision and cultural depth. If you would like to support Katrina Ann R. Kapendi 39, Anna Kalakiola Nakoa Oliveira, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.